The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. And we are back. What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of Another71.com. I am your humble host, Jeff Elliott, a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas, where we make the CPA exam far, 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 far more exciting than it was ever intended to be. Thank you for joining us. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2013. Happy Wednesday to you. And if you hear some background noise, if it sounds like I'm having a new roof put on, I am. We had some hail damage or whatever. Finally got around to having it fixed, got the insurance check, all that good stuff. But by the way, in the Ninja Audio, people make fun of how I say roof. Is it roof? It's roof, right? Anyway. All right, on today's show, we're going to knock out 15 or so questions. Send your questions, comments, suggestions, hate mail to Jeff at another71.com or go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff, and it will appear in a future edition of the podcast, or it might even work its way into and Ask the Ninjas session. You can also call me. Leave me a message at the beep at area code 323-834-9132. That's 323-834-9132. Yes, that is an LA phone number just because I'm cool like that. But I live on a farm in Kansas. How about that? So, all right. On today's show, got some questions. Hopefully, I have some relevant and reliable answers that are material to the CPA exam and that their benefit exceeds their cost. How about that?
See that? He's being funny.
All right. Emily says, I just found out that I failed FAR for the second time. My scores were 73 and 64. I've passed the other parts, so now I just need this one. I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to take the test. I think the simulations are what are giving me the most trouble. Well, Emily, you went backwards from a 73 to a 64. My guess is that you made the mistake that many people make, and it's that you are a few, quote, points away from passing, and so you don't replicate what you did before. If you want to pass, you replicate what you did before and then do something different. Add something in there, some supplementary materials, marketing alert, some ninja notes, some study software, whatever. Do what you did before and add something to it. So either you do what you did before but study more, do what you did before but you really dig into a topic that you were light on, let's say governmental accounting. You do what you did before, you add some supplementary materials. My guess is that you did not study as rigorously as you did before, which is why you scored the 64. You need to go back to what you did the first time with the 73 and add something to it. Either add more study hours or add some supplementary materials, marketing alert, 10-point combo, so more study hours, supplementary materials. It might just mean that you don't need to add any more study materials, but that you need to study harder and that you need to really dig into a section that you're weak on. Anthony says, where is the best place to find CPE online? Anthony, the very best place, and I really need to get some sort of advertising gig going for the AICPA because I love it. I'm going to refer as many people as I can to this because I love it because it saved me so much time, and that's the AICPA's CPE Express. I don't really use any of the other AICPA's, any of the other benefits that come along with being an AICPA member except for the CPE Express. Now, the CPE Express, it's like hundreds of hours of continuing ed, because once you pass the exam, then you have to start worrying about continuing ed. And so you have two choices: go to some conference, go to some lame hotel conference room with bad coffee, listening to some guy with an ugly tie talk about farm tax returns, which you don't care about because you don't do farm tax returns. But hey, you get the CPE at the CPE hours if you sit in there for 50 minutes out of an hour. Or you can do it from the comfort of your own home, better coffee, and or from a Starbucks or wherever, and knock out your CPE online. The AICPA's CPE Express is the best value for CPE that I've seen. And I love it because I am a procrastinator by nature. And it saved my butt a few times because I was coming up on the deadline. I was like, oh man, I've really got to knock out some hours here. Randy says, where can I find study resources for Treasury Circular 230 on Reg? Technically, if you have study materials, if you paid like $3,000 for a study course or $1,500 for a study course, you shouldn't have to read Circular 230. They should give you the points that's in it. You can always Google it, read up on it, just Google it and actually read it, or something like the Ninja Notes gives you the high points, the high level overview of Circular 230. You don't want to dig into the minutia of anything, really. That's kind of those aren't really concepts. It's like law, and so you really want to read the high points and do practice questions to figure out how the CPA exam is going to test you on the application. So if your study course isn't teaching you that, and if you paid them the equivalent of a MacBook Pro, you need to call them and ask them, hey, why aren't you teaching me this? Tell them Jeff sent you. All right. Anita says, I passed audit. Should I take FAR or BEC next? You should take FAR next, unless you have a shortened study schedule due to busy season, then take BEC. But usually you want to knock financial out as early into the 18-month window as you can, although you already passed audit, so it's not as much of a big deal because your 18-month window starts with audit. Ian says, I'm having trouble with cost accounting. I have the Ninja Notes, but I need some guidance in this area. The best way to kill some cost accounting is to do a ton of multiple choice questions. That's it. I mean, the best way to learn it is to do multiple choice questions, read each answer explanation, and your first set of 20, you might suck. Your second set of 20, you might do better. By your third set of 20, maybe you're just rocking it. And so really hit the multiple choice questions hard, because that's the best way to learn, is working questions that are similar to what you're going to actually see on the exam and learning that way. Spencer says, oh, I'm sorry, back up. Sherry says, how do I prepare myself for the written communications portion of VEC? Number one, you want to know the concepts. And so you have to be conceptually strong so that when you write about something like price elasticity of demand, you actually know what you're talking about. You can drop some keywords in there. You want to have your thesis statement, your three supporting points in the body of the memo, and then your conclusion where you recap your points and you finish out the memo. So if you're not a good writer, go to the another71.com forum and ask some people to give you some pointer, write out a memo and tell people what they think, or ask people what they think. Spencer says, I watched your video on the changes to auditing for 2013. Within the video, you said that changes go into effect July 1st, 2013. My question is, do changes for the other three sections go into effect July 1st as well? Yes. So for regulation, if you think back to the quote fiscal cliff debacle when they made a bunch of changes, technically those were retroactive to 2012. But for purposes of the CPA exam, they're not testable yet because the AICPA test on tax law and legislative changes 6 months after they've been enacted or passed. And so technically, those old fiscal cliff legislation where they retroactively made some tax law changes or extended some things, those start becoming testable on the exam July 1st, in addition to the clarified auditing standards. So July 1st, Nicole says, how many times should I rewrite the Ninja Notes as part of my studies? I would rewrite the Ninja Notes once and do it in the final 2 weeks of your exam, but I would read the Ninja Notes as many times as you can stomach. I know people that take the Ninja Notes and read them like on their iPad or something. They'll like knock out a chapter before they go to sleep. What better way to go to sleep than to read the Ninja Notes? If you really want to go to sleep fast, listen to my Ninja audio. I've heard you'll go to sleep faster than chugging NyQuil. By the way, if you're sick and have the flu, man, there's just nothing better than NyQuil. I don't know if I can get them to be a sponsor. That was a tangent. All right. Rob asks, how should I study? I keep saying says, and that's just like, I'm probably going to listen to this later. I'm like, man. Rob asks, how long should I study for auditing? Is 2 months enough time? 2 months is the max. There is a significant short-term memory component to the CPA exam. You are often dealing with information that you don't tackle on a daily basis, like BEC, IT terms that are antiquated. You work in tax. You don't do auditing. You don't test controls. You don't care about testing of controls. You want to cram as much of this information into your head and then barf it out on exam day, leave the testing center, and, you know, technically we're supposed to remember this stuff, right? Because it shows that we now meet the minimum requirements to serve the public interest. But let's be honest. After we pass a certain section of the exam, we go do our certain job. And whatever job we have, they teach us what we need to be doing. And so take no more than 6 weeks for auditing. I passed auditing in 3, not because I'm a super genius, but I, like I said before, I'm a procrastinator. I'm like, oh man, I have 3 weeks left for my auditing exam. And so I study like 30, well, gosh, I didn't even study 3 weeks. I studied like 1.5 weeks because I crammed like 35 hours of study time into like a week. And then I went in there, took the exam. So I would take no more than 6 to 8 weeks for auditing. I see these people who say, Jeff, I studied 3 months for financial accounting and reporting and I scored a 60. I don't get it. Well, it's because you spent 3 months studying for financial. You should have spent 8 weeks max. Ari asks, I'm going to start a drinking game every time I screw up, drink coffee. I've been studying for regulation using 2011 materials. Will this hurt my chances of passing? Well, it definitely doesn't help because you're studying for a 2013 exam using materials that were written in the summer of 2010. I hope you like your new NTS. No. Let's see. Some things have changed. Tax laws changed. I mean, but reg is very conceptual. So let's just be honest. A lot of the stuff doesn't change, but there are certain things that change. And if you study the wrong stuff, I mean, really, how expensive is it to buy like a Wiley test bank or something? How expensive is it to get some supplementary materials like the Ninja Notes? They're $67. What's a new NTS? $250? I mean, it's kind of like hedging your bets a little bit. I wouldn't do it, but people do. And a lot of them fail. Some of them pass. Okay, I'm going to show my uncultured Midwesternness here. Ankit asks, I'm wondering if pursuing the CPA along with my MBA will help my career. Do people generally pursue a CPA after their MBA or not? How can a CPA help my career growth post MBA? Well, if you have your CPA, I would not go get an MBA. You have to think, what is the return on your investment? I see people asking about ROI on getting a master's in tax after the CPA exam. I mean, like going and dropping 20 grand after you have your CPA certificate. I mean, yes, you know, academia is great. You will, you know, everyone loves academia, but what are you really adding to your personal bottom line? How much more marketable are, like, if you have your CPA certificate, your boss can't bill you out more because you have a master's of taxation. I mean, is it great to have? Sure. Even if it's given to you for free because your work is paying for it, there's an opportunity cost with your time. I mean, you're spending hundreds of hours. How much is your time worth? And this is a hot button issue for me personally, because I see people going and getting their MBA from some no-name program just to do it, and they're going back into debt. I'm like, why? If you really want to get an MBA, there's probably 20, gosh, there's probably 10 business books out there that will change your level of thinking and help you think more strategically. There's more business books out there. Spend $250 on an audible.com account and you can listen to 24 of the best business audiobooks out there and be more educated and be more of a strategic thinker than some person that goes and drops another 20 to 40 grand on an MBA. And that's heresy, I'm sure, for people that have an MBA. If you already have an MBA, it's a sunk cost. If you are considering your MBA, really think long and hard. What's the ROI on your time and your money? What's the ROI on your family's time? Because if you have a family, dude, if you're sitting there studying for an MBA after your CPA exam, like, you better make sure your spouse and your kids are on board, because there's a cost there. And so I'm going off on a tangent here, but if you have your MBA already, CPA is a great thing to add to it. If you have your CPA already, adding your MBA, really think long and hard about that. And I guess for really any graduate degree, like I said, audible.com. If you read or listen to books like Rework, anything that Seth Godin has written, anything that Jim Collins has written, Good to Great, Built to Last, How the Mighty Fall, like books like that, you want to be a strategic thinker, you want to be a business ninja, go read those books. Skip the MBA. Paul asks, I'm looking to the future. What career opportunities are available for a fresh CPA at 36 years old? How do I help my family understand the time commitment the CPA requires? I'm single, but my family has such a hard time understanding when I say no to family gatherings. Paul, you're 36. Who cares what your family thinks? You know, you want to respect your parents, you want to be a good son, but, you know, who really likes going to family reunions anyway? So, if anything, the CPA exam is a get out of family reunions free card. Now, I said who cares what your family thinks because you're single. If you're married, if you have in-laws, then you do need to care about what your family thinks. That's just a package deal there. But, so number one, who cares what they think? You're single. And then to your first question about opportunities, well, hey, you have your CPA designation. I mean, it's great. It will make you more marketable. It adds instant credibility to anything you do. If you teach a church class on personal finance, if you teach Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University and you tell the people that you're a CPA, yada yada, like every word that comes out of your mouth instantly has more credibility, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's a wonderful thing to add to your career. And maybe you don't want to work in public accounting. Maybe you're gifted in other areas like writing, or you're creative, or you're good at making carving wooden bears with a chainsaw. Having a CPA, having the accounting background, having your CPA training will help you in whatever endeavor you decide to do. Teresa says, man, I suck. I'm taking the audit exam for the second time, and I think I need to brush up on my accounting. I apologize to anyone, like to the one person out there who listens to this podcast with their kids. I won't say that anymore. I have kids, so I apologize for that. I'm taking the audit exam for the second time, and I think I need to brush up on my accounting skills. What do you suggest I have to do to a quick review of general concepts? Should I grab an intermediate or financial accounting book to skim over? Well, Teresa, I have an opinion, and I know that it's made some people in the review industry shudder, because it makes them further have to justify their high price point. But I say that if you know the difference between a debit and a credit, and generally know how accounting concepts flow, and know what a balance sheet is, income statement, statement of cash flows, then you can pass the CPA exam. Because if you're dropping some serious cash on the CPA review course, like, they had best be teaching you the concepts that you need to know. So, I mean, who graduates from college knowing about the ins and outs of auditing to the degree that you need to pass a CPA exam? There's auditors out there who do auditing for a living who can't pass auditing. And I know because I get their emails. And so the CPA exam tests on concepts, and it's in a vacuum. And so if you can open up a book, hit play on your videos, work questions in your multiple choice, and just hit it hard, you can pass any one of these exams. And so I would not spend the time going back on brushing up on your entry level, your beginning concepts and stuff. I mean, to a degree, I mean, if you're so weak, then maybe that's a good idea. But how many people get their accounting degree and then go work in some specialized area like taxes or whatever, never do any bookkeeping, never do any financial statement compilation or whatever. And 5 years later, because they had to go get their 150 hours and go to night school and everything. Man, that sounds familiar. That's my story. How many people remember the stuff that they learned in college to a degree to where you can just go knock out the exam? Not very many people. And so it's incumbent on your CPA review course to teach you what you need to know. So choose wisely. Ask, watch demos. Ask when you pick a CPA review course. Watch demos, ask people what they think about it. Is it a review course, or like, do they assume that you already just know everything and they're just reviewing it, or do they dig in and teach the concepts? Ask your fellow soldiers, your fellow CPA candidate soldiers in the trenches, on the another71.com forum. All right, final question. Michael writes in, wait a minute, what's this? Yes, I was wondering if the ninjas would be making an appearance, and they did. Michael, you win a ninja audio. So shoot me an email, jeff@another71.com. Hopefully you're listening to this. if you are listening, then that this is your reward. Michael's question: I took FAR for my first time and failed. I studied a lot, and I can't say I expected a passing score, but I expected I would do better than I did. Do you have any ideas for me on how to make sure I pass the next time? Michael, go back through your review course, start to finish. Don't cut any corners. Incorporate this ninja audio that I'm sending to you. If you're driving, if you're at the gym, if you're at your desk, if you're getting ready for sleep, and your spouse, if applicable, will let you listen to the ninja audio, listen to it nonstop, go back in there and kill it on exam day. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. I hope this has been as enjoyable for you as it was for me. I have a good time doing this. Send your questions to Jeff at another71.com or go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff, and it will appear in a future edition of the CPA Reviewed podcast. Thank you, everyone. Happy Wednesday to you. Take care.